Steaming waters rose from the springs that gave the pass its name, Thermopylae, the Hot Gates. Certainly, it would have been hard to imagine a more eerie portal. The rocks over which the waters hissed appeared pallid and deformed, like melted wax. A tang of sulphur hung moist in the August heat when Leonidas, leading his small holding force, arrived. So narrow was much of the pass that at two points either end of it, known as the East and West Gates, there was room for only a single wagon trail. On one side of the road, there lapped the marshy shallows of the Gulf of Malis. On the other, impassable and steepling, the cliffs of Mount Calidromus, tree-covered over the lower crags, then rearing grey and bare. It was a strange and unearthly spot, and one seemingly formed for defence, as the locals had long appreciated. Men from Phocis, the valley-scored country that lay between Thermopylae and Delphi, had once built a wall across the pass, blocking off a stretch some 60 feet wide, the so-called Middle Gate. Here the cliffs rose at their sheerest and most unflankable. Leonidas, bivouacking beneath them, immediately set about having the Phocians' wall repaired. No great challenge, for he had brought with him, in addition to his bodyguard, some 300 helots and 5,000 further troops. Leonidas, uncomfortably aware that central Greece was rotten with Medizers, had made a point on his way to Thermopylae of calling in on the chief conspirators and bluntly demanding their support. The Theban ruling classes, not yet bold enough to refuse a Spartan king, had responded with silken evasions. Confident, however, that Leonidas was embarked on a suicide mission, they had cheerfully permitted men from the rival faction, those opposed to their Medizing, to leave with him. And Leonidas, desperate for every reinforcement, had received these loyalists gratefully. Even as his men were digging themselves in, a delegation from the nearby city of Trachis came to Leonidas with the most unwelcome news. The pass, it appeared, was not quite as secure as the strategists back on the isthmus had cared to presume. There was, skirting the mountainous heights of Thermopylae, a trail. While hardly suited to cavalry or heavy infantry, it was, the Trachians reported, perfectly negotiable by anyone lightly armed. Leonidas, with the full strength of the great king's army about to hurl itself against his position, could ill afford to spare so much as a single hoplite. 1,000 men from Phocis volunteered to guard the trail. Leonidas, banking on their local knowledge and on the likelihood that only light infantry would be sent against them, accepted their offer. Not that the Spartan king was the only commander having to make some awkward calculations. 40 miles to the east, across the Malian Gulf and beyond the narrow straits that separated Euboea from the mainland, the allied admirals were fretting over the state of their own flank. Although the commander, Eurybiades, the Spartan high admiral, was in command, effective leadership of the Greek fleet lay instead with the admiral of its largest contingent, Themistocles. The northernmost tip of Euboea consisted largely of pebbles and dirty sand. Level and long as this beach stretched, it had been a simple matter for the Greeks to haul their warships onto the shingle, and it promised to be an equally simple matter, once the Persian fleet was sighted, to launch the fleet again. Where, though, would the barbarians be heading? If westwards, towards the straits that led to Thermopylae, then the allied battle line, pivoting like a door upon a hinge, would be well placed to block their access. But if eastwards, down the outer coast of Euboea, either to strike onwards at Attica and the isthmus, or to swing back up the opposite side of the island and aim for the Greek fleet's rear, then the danger would be grave indeed. The great king commanded so many triremes that he could easily afford to divide his armada in two and still bring overwhelming force to bear on separate fronts. The allied admirals therefore risked finding themselves not barring the straits that separated Euboea from the mainland, but bottled up inside them. As in the pass, so on the beach, forward defence carried the risk of obliteration.